This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening in the studios today of Georgia Public Broadcasting right here in Atlanta. And our focus is straight up Interstate 95 to Washington, D.C., where Congress and the Federal Reserve have the fragile U.S. economic recovery in their hands right now. Coming up, we'll talk with Georgia Congressman Lynn Westmoreland, who is one of the Republicans leading the way toward a showdown, a possible showdown, over the federal budget and a partial repeal of the Affordable Care Act. Congressman will make that argument that may lead to a government shutdown between now and October 1st, when the Affordable Care Act begins to take effect for most Americans. That's the plan, anyway. The fiscal battle and another battle over the debt ceiling in Congress could have harrowing consequences for the economic recovery. But the economic recovery is also at risk, or at least in play, in a crucial meeting at the Federal Reserve, the final day of a two-day meeting, and at the top of the agenda, a decision to move away from the $85 billion per month stimulus program called quantitative easing. Also looming is the question of who will succeed Ben Bernanke when his term as chair of the Federal Reserve ends in January, with Larry Summers out and the markets apparently thrilled about that. The new presumptive frontrunner seems to be Janet Yellen, current vice chair of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve and a supporter of the quantitative easing approach, at least according to her statements on the record. Susan M. Phillips joins us now. She served on the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve from 1991 to 1998, overlapping at one point with Janet Yellen. She joins us from Virginia. Susan Phillips, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
So Janet Yellen, unlike many of her colleagues on the Federal Reserve, seems to be very, very quiet about the idea of tapering back, moving away from the $85 billion per month stimulus. She's the only one that's been quiet. What, first of all, is her position on quantitative easing? Supportive?
Well, I'm sure she is. She was there and involved in the formation of the program. So she's been there to vote on it several times.
And this $85 billion a month program purchases treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities, and it's our understanding that moving away from it means that both of those purchases will be reduced. What's the difference between reducing purchasing of treasury bonds or reducing purchasing of mortgage-backed securities? What's the impact on the economy?
Well, you know, each of those securities trades in somewhat different markets. Obviously, they have different risk characteristics, and they also have different lengths of time to maturity. So it will affect interest rates at different points along the yield curve, and also just affect the liquidity in those two separate markets.
So the availability of money will be affected, and interest rates could spike for mortgages and for credit cards and the like.
Well, obviously, I think that they're going to, if they do anything, they're going to do it in a very staged, slow, careful manner. So they're going to try to do everything to avoid spiking of interest rates.
But an incremental increase is what the impact would be on the economy. If consumers want to pay attention to anything, it would be interest rates.
Not so much short-term rates, because they have committed to keep short-term rates low. So they're not really touching those. It's more on the longer end. But it would be very. My suspicion is it would be very minor.
What's Janet Yellen's position on inflation? Is she viewed as a hawk that if inflation rears its head, we can expect a very quick action on monetary policy, or is she more of a dove on this sort of thing?
Well, of course, when I was with her on the Fed, we had higher inflation, and at that time she was very supportive of trying to get inflation down. So I think it's very hard to categorize people as either a hawk or a dove. It depends on where inflation is, and right now it's very quiet. So she's probably not as concerned about it at this point.
You know, one of the remarkable things about the tenure of Ben Bernanke is how concerned, particularly in the last three or four years, he's been about unemployment, about improving the job situation in the economy. Do you see continuity if Janet Yellen were to replace Ben Bernanke with that focus of the Federal Reserve on jobs, something we really haven't seen except in this era?
I do think that there would be continuity. She obviously has been involved in the formation of the current policies and has been supportive of them and is on the record as being so. So, yes, it would be more of a continuation of the current sort of philosophy and analysis that goes on at the Fed.
The markets really hated the idea of Larry Summers. Does that mean that the markets don't believe that we can survive without quantitative easing?
I think with Larry Summers that people just didn't know as much about his position on monetary policy. He's dealt more in a broader range of economic issues in his public jobs, and he's not been at the Federal Reserve. So I think it was as much that people just didn't know that much about him. But we've gotten into this quantitative easing program, and I think everybody knows at some point it's going to have to end. But the question is, how do you end it, and when do you end it, and at what rate do you end it?
And that's exactly what the Fed is considering. Susan Phillips served on the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve from 1991 to 1998, overlapping at one point with Fed Governor front runner Janet Yellen. Susan Phillips, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is The Takeaway.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.